Hardly any of us think of ourselves as slaves. And yet Jesus once said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. In the Bible, sin is swapping God for anything that's not God. We put someone or something else at the center of our lives instead of our loving Creator. We live for it, love it, devote our energy towards it, spend most of our money on it, make sacrifices for it, even daydream about it. And Jesus says, actually, you're enslaved to it. Just think of the man in the film, obsessed with his lawn to the detriment of everything else in his life, including his marriage. It's slightly exaggerated, of course, but a very vivid picture of a sad reality when something just takes over. Really, we say, I'm not a slave, I'm free, I live the way I want. But how free are we, really? For example, all of us instinctively know we ought to treat others in the way that we'd want to be treated ourselves. But let me challenge you to live a single day like that, without any unkindness or impatience or a bad thought or lack of generosity. You see, sin is something we all keep on doing, actually. But when we know it's wrong, even when we know it's damaging ourselves and others, we still keep going. It's like we can't help ourselves. We're enslaved to it. Even Paul, the writer of half the New Testament, says this, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. And Jesus said, that's because we're slaves to sin. We want to do this thing, but we find we're so drawn to doing that thing. But is there any way we can be free? That's the question. Is God liberating? Is there any way that we can be really free? Well, in the book of Exodus, you can read about how the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. We heard part of it in our reading from the Bible a moment ago from David. The Israelites had become numerous and the Egyptians were scared that they'd rise up to rebel. So they were made to work as slaves by Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. Exodus chapter 1 says that the Egyptians made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. This went on, not for a week or a month or a year, 400 years the Israelites were in slavery like that. Whole generations knew nothing except birth, slavery, and death. And to weaken them further, Pharaoh ordered that all the Israelite baby boys should be killed, thrown into the River Nile. But God intervenes. He hears their cries for help. His heart goes out to them. God sends his people a leader, a man called Moses, and tells him to go to the Egyptian king and demand their freedom. But Pharaoh refuses to listen to Moses. He punishes the Israelites by making their slavery even harder, even more desperate. In response, God sends a series of plagues on Egypt to make Pharaoh release the Israelites. And here's the shocking thing. Each time, Pharaoh promises to release them from slavery. But each time, despite the terrible plagues that are ruining him and his land, each time Pharaoh goes back on his word. And so another plague comes, and then another. It seems crazy. Why does he keep doing it? A bit like the guy with the lawn. Because the Israelites are not the only one in chains here. Pharaoh is in chains too. He's in slavery to his sin. Like us, he keeps doing it, even though he knows it's wrong, even when he knows it's damaging to himself and to others. It's like an addiction. The more he does it, the harder it becomes for him to stop. It's the lawnmower man all over again. He can't stop himself. And this is a picture of how sin affects us. Like Pharaoh, we think that sin is something we're free to choose, that we can walk away from it whenever we want. But when we try to walk away, we find we can't. Isn't that our experience? We try to live a single day treating others the way we want to be treated ourselves. We find we can't do it. We try to be more patient with our children or with someone at work, and we find we can't do it. We try not to be obsessed with things in our lives, money, relationships, owning stuff, internet viewing we're secretly ashamed of, and we find we can't do it. Nobody thinks they're a slave until they start trying to get the chains off. You see, sin isn't something we do. After a while, sin starts to do us. That's what the Bible means when it says that Pharaoh's heart became hardened. The more we sin, the more we become desensitized to it. It seems as if nothing can free the Israelites. 9 plagues have come and gone, but Pharaoh keeps resisting. So God says, I will bring one more plague on Egypt. After that, Pharaoh will let you go. God wants us to understand that nothing less than what's about to happen can break the power of sin and set people free. Because Pharaoh refuses to release his people from slavery, God warns them that the firstborn son in every family will die, and that includes within Pharaoh's household too. But there's a way to avoid judgment. God tells each Israelite family to slaughter a lamb and daub some of the blood of the lamb on the door frames of their homes. He says, when I see the sign of the blood on your house, I'll pass over you. Nothing will harm you. You see what's happening? The death of a lamb is a stand-in, a substitute for the death of the firstborn son. The lamb dies so they don't have to. The lamb takes the judgment that they would otherwise face so they can go free. And just as God had said, the plague falls as promised. In every house that didn't have blood on the door frame, the eldest son dies, even in Pharaoh's palace. As a result of this, Pharaoh finally tells them that they can leave. God's people were 400 years in slavery in Egypt, and at long last, 600,000 men plus women and children were set free, saved by a slaughtered lamb. Some of us may think, really? A farmyard animal dealing with the judgment that sin deserves? Not really. It didn't truly deal with a deeper issue of judgment on human sin, but by obeying God's command and daubing the blood on the frames of their homes, the Israelites were protected, saved from slavery in Egypt at that particular moment in history. And yet, on the other hand, that sacrifice of the Passover lamb was really a sign pointing forward to a much greater sacrifice that would touch the whole world for all time and which would deal with the problem of human sin. You see, a greater lamb was coming, and a much greater liberation. Fast forward to the time of Jesus, about 1,500 years later, a man called John the Baptist sees Jesus and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What did he mean? Well, he meant, here's the greater lamb, the better lamb, the Lamb of God. The lamb 1,500 years ago in Egypt couldn't deal with sin. This one can. The one who would deal not merely with literal physical slavery, but a much deeper slavery, our slavery to sin. Because although God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, like us, they weren't free of their slavery to sin. They needed a greater lamb to deliver them from that. And so, friends, do we. You can see that they're still enslaved because though physically they left Egypt, amazingly, their hearts are still back there. God provides them with food to eat in the wilderness. They're traveling towards the promised land. But then they say, if only we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Why do we ever leave Egypt? If only things were the way they used to be. Aren't we just the same? Those two words, if only, also reveal where our hearts really are, who our God really is. Those two words, if only, reveal your Pharaoh and mine. The guy in the movie, if only I had a better garden than the guy next door. What's your if only? If only I were married. If only I had more respect from people around me. If only I had more money or more leisure time. If only I had better health. Again and again, like Pharaoh, these things promise to set us free. And yet, like Pharaoh again and again, they go back on their promise. And we continue to be enslaved by if only, because they don't deliver. The rock star Sing wrote a song with the title, You've Got to Serve Somebody. And if that somebody or something is anything other than God, it'll keep us in chains. Some people think that submitting their life to any God would feel like slavery. But it depends who your God is. If your God is merciless, ruthless, insatiable for power, always demanding that you work harder and harder, makes more sacrifices, then of course you'll be miserable. But what if, rather than demanding sacrifices, your God sacrifices himself for you? What if your God is merciful and kind and gentle? What if he offers to bear your burdens for you? What if your God fully empathizes with you and totally understands the temptations that you face? What if your God chose to lay down his power, his freedom, his life in order to serve you? Back in the day, a ransom price was the price you paid to set a slave free. And Jesus Christ, God the Son, said, he gave his life as a ransom for many. It's in Mark's gospel. The original Passover lamb was sacrificed to free God's people from slavery in Egypt. But Jesus is the better Passover lamb who sacrifices himself to free us from our slavery to sin. When you look at Jesus' life and death, you see what kind of God he is. His power was extraordinary, but he never used it to abuse or exploit others. He used it to serve them. And when you see that, your if only is transformed. Your if only becomes, if only I could serve Christ better and serve others as well as he did. If only I become more like him. All you want to do in your life is use your freedom to serve him. And when you do that, it feels like true freedom. Because you're not serving your own personal Pharaoh. You're serving a liberating God who gives everything to set his people free. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said, "I have come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free." He said, "If you follow me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And finally, he says, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if I set you free, you will be free indeed."